I've enjoyed playing here. This has been over 20 years that I've been coming to Royal Melbourne. This way golf should be played.
We love coming down under.
Look, it's phenomenal to play. The quality of the golf's been great, but the enthusiasm of the people has been the thing that's just been amazing.
Tier of courses that I'm willing to shave my neck for in Kingston Heath and Victoria. Get me out of bed to shave.
Especially somewhere like Australia in the Sand Belt, and I have so many great memories of being down there.
Hello and welcome back to Australian Golf Passport. Of course, it's Masters Week, and if you're anything like me, you've been spending this week getting a bit of work done on the laptop, on the couch, while you watch live from the range, into live from the Masters, into old Masters tournaments getting replayed on Fox Sports. It's all Masters. Then you might flick over onto Instagram or Twitter and look at the highlights from the Masters accounts, read the interview transcripts on ASAP Sports. It is a week for one thing and one thing only. Obviously, most of us sitting at home in Australia trying to get our fix through the TV. Our friend Matty Mollica is there. He was on grounds today for the Wednesday practice round. He's been playing some bucket list golf before that, but I know the thing he was most excited about for this trip was to get back to Augusta National. I think Matty's first visit was in 2001. And he hasn't been back since. So it's been a long time coming. One very excited boy. So he'll be joining us to talk about his day, the golf course, what he saw. Obviously, first, want to say thank you to the people who support us. So Angus and Grace Go Golfing and Burnley Brewing. Angus and Grace Go Golfing.com. Angus and Grace Go Golfing on Instagram. And Angus and Grace Go Golfing in William Street at Paddington. Obviously, I've had a very busy week of watching Masters on the TV. I've had a big week binging Masters on the couch. So I haven't been to see Matty Burns yet. Pick up those mock necks. So stay tuned for a review on those. But spoiler, I think I'm going to love them. And also Burnley Brewing. I've been having a bit of a laugh to myself this week looking in the fridge, because obviously the Masters, Augusta National, all the holes have their name: Golden Bell, Holly, Azalea, Firethorn, etc. And I've been seeing the Burnley seltzers in my fridge, you know, and we've got Kakadu Plum, and we've got Lemon Myrtle, and we've got Finger Lime. And I was thinking, you know, Burnley could actually release 18 flavors of those with Australian fruits and plants and whatnot, and have almost like an Augusta National rundown of flavors. So loving particularly, name checked it, the Kakadu Plum at the moment. And look, one of those might get a crack 9 a.m. Monday morning if an Aussie is able to put on the green jacket. So thank you again, Burnley and Angus and Grace Go Golfing. And here's Matty Mollica.
Evening, mate. How are you?
I'm great. Look at you. You look like you just had one of the best days of your life.
It was definitely up there. Yeah. Just a wonderful day. So much fun and so memorable. And I've said 1,000 times to other people, it's like Disneyland, and it really is. And you meet lots of other people who are there for the same reason and having fun. And whether they're new friends or old, it just enhances the experience and makes it one you never forget.
Speaking of new friends, you met Paige Spiranek today.
Yes. Paige was under the big tree in front of the clubhouse and recognised the RM logo, so said hello. And she visited Royal Melbourne a little while ago. So I saw Ian Baker Finch walking along early in the morning and said, "G'day, Ian, have a good week." Turned around and said, "You too, mate. Nice hat." So he also recognised the logo. Just lots and lots of familiar faces all around the property, and you're bound to run into some, even though it's a huge place and there's lots and lots of people there. I had been there in 01. I went Monday, Tuesday of 2001, and it seems to have grown enormously. The course is longer, but the whole facility is enormous. The car park that I used when I visited in that 01 year is now the pro driving range. And the car park that you use is just unfathomably big. And it was covered by houses.
And I reckon it's probably a 15-minute walk from your car to actually seeing a golf hole.
Yes. Yeah, it's a long walk. The infrastructure around the course as well, Berkman's Place, and they've got another facility that's very similar to that that's debuting this year, Map and Flag, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Merch facilities, concession stands, amenities. It's an enormous production, and I'm sure that someone at Augusta is going to be starting to prepare for the 2025 Masters on Monday morning. Yeah, it's exceptionally well run, which is no surprise. Stacks and stacks of people helping you at every step of the way. Everyone's happy. Everyone's in a good mood. Everyone's looking out for one another. It happened a little more readily in a few more places than Augusta National for one week in April. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the patron who took me in 2022 was saying to him as we wandered around on Sunday morning, he said, you used to just be able to, you know, he's in his 70s. He said, when I was younger, you used to be able to turn up and just buy a practice round ticket at the gate, you know, just wander on in. Like, it's changed a lot in not too long. Talk us through your day. Did you basically camp out at certain spots? Did you walk the course? What struck you about the golf course? It's meant to be pretty firm and bouncy.
It's not as firm as is being touted broadly, I don't think. It almost felt a tiny bit spongy in parts. We're due to have an inch and a bit of rain overnight and leading up to lunchtime tomorrow here. So it's definitely not going to be any sort of baked out, hard, bouncy affair that we were expecting last weekend and early this week. What did I do? We got there very early, and most people said to try and get to the merch store pretty quickly, get yourself a garden gnome before they sell out. They'd pretty much gone, and some of the caps, the styles had already gone before I got in there. First thing I did was wander around the front nine. You then tick off your list and grab something to eat. We pretty much, I went along with Tim Shermer, who we've spoken about on the pod before. He hit the jackpot and got a Wednesday practice round ticket as well. So he and his wife Melissa and me were walking around for a little bit together. We pretty much worked our way through the menu throughout the course of the day, which was really, really good. Bought enough supplies to last us for a car trip tomorrow up to Washington, which is great. Came back, split up for a little bit, merch shopping, got the standard photo outside Founders Circle out the front of the clubhouse, sort of wanted to tick that one off. And the line didn't look too bad at that point, so I just stood around and waited to get that done. Met a few people outside the clubhouse under that big tree. Saw Steve Britton, one of Australia's great exports, who was there with Leo Barber.
Yeah, I was going to say, was Leo with him? There you go.
Leo was there, and I've messaged Leo back and forth over many years and finally met him today. He said to me a long time ago, you guys are going to meet under the oak tree at Augusta. I don't think I would have believed it, but that was a really cool touch. Very, very happy to finally meet Leo. Shaq came out of the press centre and said hello, and we bumped into him again later in the day while we were walking around. After that, the back nine, grabbed some food, grabbed some shade in the hottest part of the day, worked through the front nine and a little bit of the par three, came back up to the clubhouse, met some more people and chatted, grabbed another beer, and then walked the entire course again. A lot of people started to leave when the par three was over, so we set off on our last lap at about 4:30, thinking gates would close at about 6, and they ended up, I think I left probably closer to 6:45. Bumped into Shaq down at Amen Corner, bumped into Solly at 18T, which was fantastic, and met KVV on the way out. Thanked him and congratulated him for doing the Lord's work with his riding. So that was really, really neat to meet him. Lots and lots of observations about the course, though, and the fantastic part about walking it late in the day, we had a camera, because you can't take your phones in, so in order to get some pictures, you take an old-school camera. Very few people around from 4:30 onwards. I was surprised at the number of people who left, and you had ample opportunity to walk around the course, not inside the ropes, but with very, very little traffic. See what you wanted to see, go all around green complexes and check curves out and runoffs and slopes, and just how amazing the movement is in some of them. I mean, we see putts on TV that move a lot, or they talk about being scary fast, but getting close to greens like 14 and 17 and the mounds on 8, tiny little portions of greens. That'll be a great thing to sit back and watch the event on TV and watch it in years to come and realize that, oh, wow, that's hitting it to a back left pin on 2 is like landing it on a dining table. And yeah. Guys do it with long irons.
There's actually one of the cool things about watching the Anwar was they use a lot more handheld cameras on the ground. And so, you know, you could see, for instance, you miss short left of 10, just how much of a slope that is that you're hitting up, and you're seeing only the top half of the flag. You know, Lucas Michelle kind of touched on this in the last episode. The camera shots from towers negate some of that blindness and slope. So, yeah, you certainly do. It strikes you in the face on the ground versus a tower shot from the TV. But, the Anwar coverage had some of that.
If you've tugged an approach into 10, like if you're down where Len Matisse was in that playoff against Mike Weir, or Rose Zhang put one down there in the Anwar in regulation play last year. And it is just, you are handcuffed down there. It is so, so difficult. You see nothing. Yeah, it's a very, very nerve-wracking spot to be.
Aside from being much larger, did the golf course look or feel different to 2001 or just it longer?
Longer. The tees are so far back. I feel like I had a pretty good memory of where things were. I took a lot of photos back in 2001 and have a big album that I looked at before I left. And you had far more organic walks from green to tee, like we would associate with our rounds of golf. And now they just go so far back.
Like that walk back to 11 tee is absurd. Like they could put a par 3 from the 10th green to the 11th tee now, and it would actually, you know, there'd be room.
It would. Oh yeah, it would flow. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. You walk back a long way to get to 11, 13. That looks like it's a long way back, and we all know that they acquired land from Augusta Country Club to extend that hole a few years ago. 14's pushed back. 17's pushed back. Five looks like such a daunting carry, and if you push that, don't quite get it, don't commit to it, and there's a little bit of hold on with that drive because you don't want to turn it over and get into that bunker. You've got such a long shot in to another green that just heaves. There's so much movement in that putting surface, as there is 6. I took a lot of photos from crosswalks as well, because you can walk from one side of a fairway to another at a couple of designated points per hole. And you realize when you ascend 8 on that crosswalk, you look up and you are just hit by a wall. There's no visibility of that green. So people who get home in 2 on that hole, they're playing a sort of, a kind of golf that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah. The other thing that struck me with the crosswalks is that crosswalk in the layup zone on 15. Like, how on earth anyone hits a pitch off that downhill slope that does anything other than just trampoline over the back into the water? You know, that's another one of that's like players who can hit that shot, they're not human.
Yeah, it's just so difficult to do that off that downslope. There's not much grass under the ball. The grain does you no favours. I would be scared of blading it into the water at the front, blading it over the back, fatting it. Crazy. There were some interesting groups out there. Didn't really pay a lot of attention to the players themselves, which was one point that we discussed on the drive back home from the course, that hit that the interest in pro golf has taken over the last 18 months. The following of a group or a particular player for 4 or 5 holes, just it wasn't even on the radar today.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a product of only being there one day and having a lot of other to-dos on the list that you want to tick off. But Cam Smith took Jasper Stubbs around, which is really good of him. Patrick Reed was out there by himself. DJ was... Who was DJ with? He had Zach Johnson with him as well as someone else. I can't remember the third in that group, but there seemed to be like a 65-yard differential between DJ and DJ.
The thing that strikes me too, like it, exactly what you're talking about, it's 2 years on, I don't remember a lot of the players I saw or shots I saw them hit. And it kind of just drives home to me that the thing that I went to the Masters to see was Augusta National Golf Club and the Masters, more so than, you know, I'm a massive Spieth fanboy, but I was rewatching the tournament the other day and I was like, oh yeah, I did see him hit that shot. But in the moment, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to forget this. But actually, what I'll never forget is the golf holes and the tournament experience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just, yeah, the buzz of being there, seeing something that you feel so familiar with and something that you've seen on TV so often, that really, that consistency of appearance year in, year out does the Masters an inordinate amount of favours. But it's a great thing that I suppose so many who attended today or all of this week or any time previously, they'll cherish that ability to cast their mind back and think, yeah, I've stepped on that bit of ground, or I know what that's like from there.
I remember when I got to 13 having that realisation of, oh my God, this is actually a golf hole. It's not just a soundstage. Like this isn't, you know, in a TV studio in Burbank, California. This is a real thing. Like this is a golf hole. And yeah, which sounds stupid, but I think anyone who's actually walked onto that golf course would have felt that feeling in some way. It really feels too like post-COVID, Aussies are back there in force this year. There seems to be a lot of people on my social media feeds and group chats who are there or who know someone who's there that, you know, I guess it makes sense that 2022 was a bit soon post-COVID for a lot. You know, 2 years later, it feels like the Aussie invasion is really well underway.
Yeah, heard a few Aussie accents around the place today, which was good. Lots of people inquiring, lots of Americans inquiring about travelling to Australia and, oh, it's so far, and, oh, you came all this way, and then you start talking about how manageable it is to fly from Sydney to LA or Melbourne to LA, and, oh, okay, it's suddenly more approachable for them, which is nice. Mm. Maybe they come back our way at some point. Getting back to the pros, the interesting groups, we saw Lowry, Fleetwood and Hatton tee off on 16. Which was really cool. Just hearing the sound that Lowry's iron made, different to the other two boys, just really nice. And Rahm and Elazabal were playing Sergio Garcia.
Okay, that's interesting because I saw the Champs Dinner photo and Sergio was off in the far corner. And I thought, I know that like Rahm, after the last US President's Cup at Whistling Straits, Rahm said playing with Sergio was like the greatest moment of his career. And I saw Sergio so far from Rahm in Rahm's great moment. And I thought, I wonder if there's been a cooling there. You know, and there was an interview I saw with Sergio earlier in the week where he was asked about, you know, had he talked to John Rahm about the Champions Dinner and blah, blah. He said, oh, we haven't really had much time to talk. And I thought, have you not had much time, or are you and Rahm not as tight anymore? So it's interesting that, okay, they were playing a practice round. Maybe I'm overreading that or misreading that.
Yeah, I wonder what they do in that Champions Dinner to choreograph it. Sometimes you'd just be, I imagine, a victim of circumstance. The photographer's there and you're asked to assemble and you end up where you end up.
Yeah, yeah. Sergio was having a piss and they had to wait for him to come back, and so then he had to join the edge of the photo. And then everyone reads so much into that when really it's just, yeah, that's probably fair.
But you can't use that excuse for your attire when you attend the Champions Dinner. So if you're going to do a Spieth, then perhaps wear a lilac shirt with a dark purple tie under a green jacket. I reckon the excuses are a bit thin on the ground. That was...
Yeah, but you know what? Purple and green is Wimbledon colours. I quite like purple and green together.
Yeah, they're
but everyone was... Colours. I mean, I appear to be the only person that's giving him a pass. I mean, everyone was ripping him on Twitter. But good, yeah, anyway, there you go.
Yeah.
Best thing you ate today.
Oh, the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
Had two of them. They were really, really good. The Masters Club sandwich was really good. The breakfast sandwich was really good. I don't understand the American nomenclature with biscuit and sandwich, because some things are like burgers for us. And what we call a biscuit in Australia is not what American people call a biscuit. What was really good? I love the pimento cheese sandwich, and had one at, where was it? The Tree Farm on Monday, which was really, really good, and had another one today at Augusta National. And I can sort of understand why some people don't like them because of the consistency, but I love them. I was very happy to do that. Crow's Nest beers for $6. They were fantastic.
Do you have a little stack of cups to bring home? The plastic yes. cups they come in? Yeah, good man.
Yes. So, yeah, great day all round. Wonderful day all round. Memories to last a lifetime.
UPS. Can you believe it's been 23 years?
No, I can't. I remember I was there Monday, Tuesday in 01, as I said at the outset, and I spent the last little while of that 2 days down in that bottom corner and portion of the course looking at 13 green, sun setting, shadows growing, not many people around, voice over the public address system asking patrons to make their way to the exits. And I remember thinking at that time, I'm not sure how or when this is going to happen, but I will come back here before I die. And that was my first thought when I got that email that informed me that I'd won a ticket in the practice round. And, yeah, made the same little pilgrimage down to that little segment of the course as the sun was setting and the time was running out, and felt the tiniest bit emotional down there and thought, yeah, that was a long time ago and your life's very different and a lot has happened. And they talk about that on CBS. I mean, sometimes people say it's schmaltzy and a bit too much saccharine for them. But it, I suppose the tournament going back there every year is a bit of a touchstone for people. We remember people who won 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. So, yeah, a little bit of that for me, which was, yeah, really nice. And I probably won't ever get back now at that current strike rate. I don't think I'll come back as a 70-something-year-old to another practice day. You never know. What else have I got to share?
I'm curious about your trip just generally. Like, I love traveling in America, and I'm absurdly jealous of you as I sit here in Sydney. But what's it been like just being back there on the ground, playing golf, having fun?
Great. Just great. Los Angeles was fantastic. I've got a great friend who lives there. I was there for 5 days at the start of the trip before coming across to Charlotte and then making our way down to Aiken. The people are lovely. They're welcoming. I love it over here.
Do you want to tell everyone what you shot at Riviera?
No. The forms continued. If people are lucky enough to come to this part of the world or get a ticket to the Masters in future years, whatever way they get it, I can strongly recommend coming down to Aiken and playing Old Barnwell, Tree Farm and Palmetto in particular. There's lots of good golf around here. Yeah, it's a haven.
Very good. Well, look, you've given me more of your time than I reasonably could ask for while you're in this, I was going to say, post-coital sort of like just glow. The look on your face is like you could die right now and be a happy man. So thank you for the time. I'll let you get back to the beers and the friends, but we'll look forward to the tournament.
Yeah, enjoy it, everyone. Great to speak with you, Scott, and great to share it with you. Hope everyone enjoys Masters Week. It's, one of the best weeks of the year.